Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, March 29th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, page 47, the second paragraph, We Needed to Ask Ourselves. And we'll be studying that one paragraph only. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Robin P., the 12 Traditions, Shelley E., and the readers of the text are Kara L. and Betsy H. The share ID for Sunday, March 28th, is 16,662. That's 16662. And for this morning's meeting, Monday, March 29th, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 16,662. 165-16665. And our newcomer greeter at 10 minutes till the hour will be Lorraine N., and the announcements person will be Leslie M. Thank you all for your service this month. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees. For members, we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose to carry, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Robin P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Vero Beach, Florida. God bless everybody. We admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed, and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thanks so much.
And thank you, Robin P. And I will now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning. Good morning, Mo. Good morning, fellows. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas, and here are the 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
And thank you, Shelley E. Appreciate your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and then once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, on page 47, the second paragraph. We needed to ask ourselves, and I am now going to ask Kara L. to get us started. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Mo. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater in Long Beach, California. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderful, effective spiritual structure can be built. And there is an asterisk at the bottom for spiritual experience, which I know we will read in the future. My name is Kara. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And, of course, I say this all the time, I love this paragraph, and I do have that sentence, do I now believe or am I even willing to believe that there's a power greater than myself? And the further I travel down the path, the more I'm just in tune with that cornerstone in my program, in my recovery. You know, I'm seeing more and more. It's that second step.
Kara?
I have a belief in my heart that
there is
something
are.
Greater than me. Oh, okay.
We've lost
all
for
I have
a couple
to do
of
is
seconds.
Leave. Let me take out my headset. That might be better.
Okay.
All I have to believe. Can you hear me now, okay, Mo?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, okay. All right, great. Sorry, folks. All I have to believe that there is something greater than myself and trust that something will help me. And then all the other work I do is so that I can rely on that higher power, that I don't block it with the clamors of life, that I don't block it with the thoughts that I think I can figure it out and take, you know, and do things myself. And With that cornerstone in place, a beautiful program can grow and has grown for me and has given me the gifts. And it's the reason that I get up every morning early for this meeting and I get up to do my prayer meditation in the morning is because I'm growing that cornerstone, that piece. I'm growing a program on it. And I think also this paragraph is such hope because it says it's been repeatedly proven among us that this simple cornerstone and wonderful effective spiritual, I mean, reading that, it says it's repeatedly proven over and over again. I mean, that brings hope to my heart. And I know that when I read that, I say, that's right. Over and over again, all we have to do is believe that there's something greater than us. There's a lot of work that goes around that once we do that. But the gift is there and it's starting to grow. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for all of you here today. And I look forward to hearing what you have to say. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Kara, for getting us started. And I'll now remind everybody where we're at. We're in the chapter We Agnostics. And we're on page 47, the second paragraph. And we'll be studying that one paragraph only. It begins with, we needed to ask ourselves. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And we appreciate that you follow that. All right. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Helena C.
Helena C.
Melanie C.
H. Melanie C. And Jody. I got you, Jody.
Vicky C.
Vicky
Kathleen
C.
O.
Kathleen O. One more. All right.
Donna B.
Oh, Donna. Spelled D-A-N-A.
Thank you, Mel.
All right, Donna. All right, here we go. Helena C., Melanie C., Jody H., Vicky C., got a lot of C's there, Kathleen O., and Donna B. All of those, please mute your phone. And Elena, you're up first.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
I can.
Good. Well, my name is Elena C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Greer, South Carolina. And I like this paragraph, and I like step two. And I learned that the spiritual principle in step two is hope. And, you know, I did not believe at first that you know, I can have a power greater than myself. And I remember I told my first sponsor in another program that, you know, I'm mad at God because, you know, God did not do in my life what I wanted him to do. So she goes, well, then there you go. How can you be mad at God and not believe in God? And I'm like, oh, you're right, you know. And what happened for me was like, was very slow. I just learn from other people, and I believe that they believe at first. And I also saw that they were saying that they do have a pal they rely upon every day, that their lives were so much better. And you know, they talk about this struggles in their lives, and they did have a sense of hope because it was not them for them to fix their struggles, but then they rely on a power greater than myself. And that's what has helped me. and I like how the last sentence, it has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. So that's, we have a spiritual structure. We have a spiritual basis with the step one and two. And, you know, and it provides us hope that we can build a structure. And with this structure, we can protect ourselves from everything that's coming our way. There will be, in our life, there will be struggles and wins and turns
tornadoes, but then we do have a strong spiritual structure and effective that cannot move us. And I'm very happy to be part of this program and to have you all, and with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Elena C., Melanie C., followed by Jody H. Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I believe, or am I willing to believe? Absolutely, I was. I mean, I was hoping to long before I had to face this food thing that I was doing. I tried it in many forms, some way and somehow, something to rescue me, something to sprinkle pixie dust all over me. Of course I'm willing. Are you promising me all this stuff? I'm going to have wonderful things going to happen to me. I'm never going to have to worry about overeating again. I'm going to be thin. I'm going to be whatever, all that stuff that I've dreamed about beforehand. Of course, sign me up. And I was completely blind. I had no idea what that was going to be like, where it came from, and what it was going to be. Because then the big book starts introducing things like, it's deep down within me. I had a self-imposed crisis, and so I needed to make a decision. Self-imposed crisis. I myself created all of the extra hubbub, the drama that was around all this untreated disease. And yet, that power was deep down inside of me. It became a little bit frightening, the whole idea of it. But in hindsight, looking back over the whole thing, it comes to pass that fundamental idea was planted, and the steps took me through the confusion around where it was going to come from, how it was going to be, the way it was going to develop, what came first, the chicken or the egg, all of that through the application of the steps, focusing on absolutely on steps 2, 3, 6, 7, and 11 on a daily basis for me opens up that idea. The self is what got me in trouble, and it was the self deciding that I was going to believe in this sort of thing that also gave me the problem that I have, and it created this formulation of all these kinds of gods that I had throughout my life, and it caused me to be stuck. When I was awakened to the idea that this process happens to me, not by me, and that I just let go and work the steps on every single thing that comes through my thinking, that egoic self that's in the center of my mind, then this enlarging happened, and I could just come along and watch it awaken for me. And it was mysterious, it was miraculous, it's been profound, and it's jaw-dropping, because it wasn't possible in my finite thinking to imagine that a fellow filthy rags such as myself, this wretchedness that I'd gotten myself into, could ever be anything different. It's magnificent, and it's marvelous and wonderful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. Jody H., followed by Vicki C. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, folks. My name is Jody H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Maine. I just have something short to share. When I read this paragraph and I see the question, do I now believe or am I even willing to believe? I remember when I was first shown the steps and I had to confront the issue of a higher power. And I realized that I was angry with my higher power and I had nothing, I wasn't even willing to, according to my sponsor, I said, she said, are you willing to believe, according to this paragraph? And I said, no, I'm not. I said, I know I'm in a crisis, but am I willing to believe in a power greater than myself that has let me down so many times? And so I said, okay, here's the deal. I'm willing to be made willing to believe. And that may seem kind of extreme, but that's where I was at. And so slowly over time, through, and she said that's a start. And I also like the H-O-W, how issue, the anagram or whatever the word is, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And I slowly realized nobody was pushing a power greater than myself down my throat. It was my needing a higher power because my life had become totally unmanageable. And so anyway, so today I'm not only willing to believe, I thank God for my higher power, and I will pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jody H. Vicki C., followed by Kathleen O. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning. You know, this paragraph makes me think a lot. I'm in a couple other 12-step groups, too, but this one seems to be the hardest. But I came into 12-step programs hating God because of the way I was brought up. And I called God probably everything there is in the book. I was so angry at him. I hated him. I vowed I'd never pray to him. I vowed I'd never read about nothing. I didn't want to hear about it. And when I'd go to a 12-step meeting and somebody would say something about God, I'd walk out of the room. If I was on a phone call meeting and somebody said the word God, I hung up. But today my higher power is God. I prayed for the willingness to be willing to forgive God and to forgive myself. And, you know, when I looked at the fact that he did answer my prayers because I am alive today and I'm sober in a couple of different programs and stuff, and now I'm in Overeaters, my main program, I'm doing quite well. And, you know, I had those moments where I get really overwhelmed. And I call one of the phone numbers I got from you guys. And I'm able to get a day of abstinence by doing that. And I can't wake up in the morning and go from day to day or minute to minute without asking my higher power, which is God, what is the next right action to do. And when I don't ask my higher power that question, I have a really screwed up day. I mean, everything goes wrong. So I just I turn my life, my will over to God every day, and I'm able to get absent, and I'm able to remain open-minded. That's it.
And thank you, Vicki C. We have Kathleen O, followed by Donna B. And after Donna, I will take some more names. So prepare yourself. We're on page 47, second paragraph, we needed to ask ourselves. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Mo. This is Kathleen O, recovered in California, sunny today. So upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderful, effective spiritual structure can be built. You know, there's a lot of promises in this book, and that sounds like one to me. And it did come true once I, you know, got out of my head with the debating society of, oh, well, is there or isn't there? I don't think there is. And, you know, my past, you know, being raised as a Catholic with nuns that weren't very nice and, nah, there's no God. You know, as soon as I got out of that nonsense and really just got into my heart, it was pretty easy to find a power greater than me. You know, a cornerstone, it's a foundation. Without a strong foundation, what we build will likely not be effective. So, you know, all this power has to be is something you know, greater than ourselves. I just knew it couldn't be me. And I needed to keep it simple. You know, I was told, don't shoot yourself in the foot, act as if. And it's better to believe and find out there isn't a God than to not believe and find out there is a God. And so I had to surrender to a higher power who could help me with life, you know. I had to have a willingness to believe. And then I had to take action. You know, I've heard it so many times before that willingness without action is fantasy. And, you know, it's like it's about finding a God that will help us solve our problems. Because I believe that, you know, life's problems are going to be happening until the day I'm not on this earth anymore. So the higher power will be revealed, you know, to all of us. It's just, and sometimes it's just working the steps and that power is going to be revealed. You know, the power didn't only relieve me from my trigger foods, but it continues to help me with my living problems. And, you know, I went, I don't know if any of you have been to
Zion National Park, but I was there several years ago and decided to hike Angel's Landing. And it was beautiful and frightening all at the same time. And, you know, it took a lot of willingness, definitely took a lot of action. And there were times where I thought, oh my gosh, can I do this? And when I got to the top, it's like, okay, how can there not be a power greater than me? And that power, you know, I believe helped me up that mountain. And I got up there and it was beautiful and it was wonderful and I'll never regret doing it. So even if the power is nature, there's a lot of strength in, I mean, you know, sitting and watching the ocean or, you know, just nature itself is that's very powerful and we can draw on that power. And so, yes, thank you. And I pass. Thanks, Mo.
Hey, thank you, Kathleen. Donna B. After Donna, I'll take more names. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. And I do spell my name D-A-N-A. I had a call over the weekend from somebody who was given an assignment by their sponsor to reach out to others and ask about their step two experience. And it gave me an opportunity to reflect. And for me, I always, always knew there was a power greater than myself. Now, it was not a benevolent power, and it was not a loving power, but the evidence to me that there was a power greater than myself was that no matter how hard I tried, I could not make life go my way. So my very first perception of a power greater than myself was that it was this thing that was just constantly getting in my way. It was a force of resistance. It was a barrier to my own personal power. So I didn't doubt that there was something out there, but I did not feel that it was something that I could or would or wanted to access as a source of love and protection and support. And a lot of these types of concepts that people share in the rooms. I was going to say this prior to any of the previous shares, so it's unrelated. But in my experience, the suggestion to act as if was really not a good one. For me, the way that I interpreted act as if was to just pretend to be something I'm not, to pretend to believe in something I don't, to pretend to fit in to a group of people that I didn't fit into based on, you know, one or two criteria. And for me, practicing rigorous honesty and being able to say to supportive and loving sponsors over and over and over again, I don't think I believe in God. I don't think I believe in God. I'm not sure if this is going to happen for me. I'm not sure if I'm going to have a spiritual experience, was really important. And that willingness to be honest and the willingness to engage in those conversations for me personally was more beneficial than how I interpreted the concept of acting as if. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Donna B. And so let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 47 in the We Agnostics chapter 4. Second paragraph, we needed to ask ourselves. And I will now take some names of those who would like to share with us. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Here we go. I'll take
Pam M.
Pam M. Gotcha.
Yes, please.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Dana P.
Dana P. There was somebody else in there too.
Alice A.
Okay.
Carol F.
One more.
Sarah N.
Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you. Pam M. Deborah G. Dana P. Alice A. Carol F. and Sarah W. Pam, you'll be our first person. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, OA family. And thank you for everyone's shares and for your service. So to a willingness to believe in a power greater than. So what I really needed to understand was math. I am one. And one plus one equals two, which is greater than. And I was so big. My ego was so extra, extra large that I could not at the time of beginning this program recognize that anything could be greater than myself. And when I started to learn math and I realized even working with another fellow is greater than myself, not making that person God, but that unity of fellowship is then beginning to create that foundation of greater than. And through that fellowship and building, you know, these strong, trustworthy relationships with other recovered, with people that were recovered, I was able to start to recognize what else is greater than myself. You know, I can't create the stars. I can't create Mother Earth. I can't create the expansive, spacious, infinite, limitless universe. I'm powerless over those things. I could never do that on my own. I'm part of that, but I am not the creator of that. And that was the beginnings of my journey. And someone from this line also said to me, you know, you're never going to understand your higher power, because that would imply that you were bigger than your higher power. And I think about my foster daughter, who this beautiful sentient being, but she doesn't understand the world yet. I am greater, bigger than her, and I am here to teach her about the world. And so this is this understanding of what is greater than. And that was the basic fundamental principle of my beginnings, of shifting from closing down that word God to being open to all words that point me towards God. Doesn't matter what words you use. And that's why I love that higher power. And you know, I love that. Oh, thanks. I'll just finish off by saying that this extra large ego is now becoming a medium sized ego. And yesterday I got to buy a medium sized raincoat, and I haven't been that size since fourth grade. So it works if you work it. Thank you. I pass. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Pam M. Deborah G., you're up, followed by Dana P.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for being of service and all those that have been of service today to make this meeting possible and all the beautiful shares. And I was thinking about this last experience of going through the steps and wanting a deeper relationship with that power and really experiencing that power, which is what happened. You know, first it's interesting how it changes every time I go through the steps. And what I discovered and experienced was was that power was guidance in everything, and knowledge and power and love and presence. That power was reality, beauty, laughter, and the present moment, and continues to experience that with the experience of what else is going to happen. You know, I love that, the wonder, the awe. You know, I don't know, you know, and continually surrendering. You know, when I was going through the steps and still am, I was also doing 10, 11, and 12, and having an awareness of what that experience of a power was, going into my meditation with just allowing that power to have its way with me. And that's what it did through the rest of the steps I'm going through right now and continues to. You know, just being an open to the awe and wonder and the, and just the mystery. It's just been an amazing, I can't even put it into words. I tried to just articulate it, but it's just an experience. And thank you again.
And thank you, Deborah G. Dana P., followed by Alice A. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service and to everyone that's on the line. Yeah, it's that first sentence there, and I kind of like to talk a little bit about the words. We had to ask ourselves. It doesn't say that we ask another, or it doesn't say that we go outside and we look around to see what we can find. Essentially, for me, that boiled down to going within and finding this intimate relationship. And it doesn't say God in this paragraph. It says higher power, something greater than me, something greater than me. And again, that would solve all my problems. And that's what it came to. You know, I thought I had all these problems. And as I worked the program, as I continue to work this program, you know, we're talking about step two and 10. And I've heard it said that, you know, they're underutilized steps, which is so true. As soon as I stop doing that, I start looking outside of myself again and asking other people rather than going within to the source of power that lives in me, that is greater than me. It lives in all of us. It's greater than all of us. And the word agnostic, it's not that we don't believe anything. That's an atheist. We don't believe anything. It says we agnostics. And what is agnostic? Gnosos is knowledge. So without knowledge, knowledge of what? And it doesn't mean intellectual knowledge, something I read and studied out of a book. They're talking about wisdom. Knowledge, wisdom of that higher power that lives within. And I choose to call mine beloved master, and it is a intimate relationship that I build upon daily, like any intimate relationship. You know, if we don't attend to it, it goes away. If we don't attend to it, it doesn't attend to us. Always waiting. So I know that I have to attend to my beloved daily by going within to find the wisdom, the gnosis that I seek, that higher power that I seek. So thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Dana P. Alice A., followed by Carol F. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning. This is Alice A., a recovering compulsive eater in Alabama. I have recovered and have been announced as recovered before, but I've had relapses, and while I wish they had not happened, I've learned so much from each one. I feel stronger working my program today and spiritually closer to God. Even when I read OA and AA material today, they're so much clearer and mean so much more to me than before. I've heard in this paragraph they referred to the cornerstone, and I have heard word of this described as part of an architectural analogy of building an arch to freedom. Step one is the foundation, powerlessness. Step two is the cornerstone, believing there is a power greater than myself. Step three is the keystone, which is the central stone at the top of an arch that locks everything together. And then steps 4 through 9 represent the building blocks. So together, those are an arch to freedom. And when I first came into the program and got to step two, I said, oh, yes, I believe in God. You know, I always have. But the God I remember, the God that I believed in, was one of rules and doing good works. And if you didn't do these things, you might not go to heaven. But I had a wise sponsor suggest to me that I write a letter to the God of my youth, thanking him or her, and about what for being there when I needed them in my youth. But then to think about what I wanted from my higher power. Today, that higher power is the most important thing in my life. My morning meditation started with 3 minutes, and I thought, I just don't know if I can do this. And now it's moved to 10 minutes, and that doesn't even seem like it's long enough. That's how close I feel to my higher power now. And thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Alice A. Carol F., followed by Sarah N., and after Sarah, we might have time for maybe one or two more quick shares. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. I'm Carol, compulsive overeater, food addict in recovery from Maryland. And I want to say that I became willing to believe in a power greater than myself after I ran out of good ideas, my own good ideas, my own self-sufficiency. And then I had to get past linking or associating my higher power with my parents, because that word power was a big stumbling block to me, because it always went back to my parents. And when I thought of that word power, like I said, my mind always went back to my emotional linkage with my feeling of my higher power, or rather my parents, which was ineffectual, weak, wishy-washy, hit or miss, maybe so, maybe not. So my higher power, when I thought of it with my parents, was just weak. And, you know, why would I want that? But I, you know, through the meetings, reading literature, taking an inventory, my belief in my higher power has shifted and moved from my parents and is now a greater power or greater being connected with the world, with the universe. And I do too also spend time every day in prayer meditation. And that has tremendously helped me to link up and be connected with a power greater than myself. And I do have evidence and proof that that higher power has helped me so many ways. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Carol F. I'll just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 47 in We Agnostics, the second paragraph. We needed to ask ourselves. And after Sarah N., I can take one or two more quick shares. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. May I be heard?
Yes, you are.
Okay, great. Thank you. Hi, good morning. My name is Sarah N. from San Jose, California. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater because I tend to be a chronic relapser. I am, again, on day one of abstinence, but this particular paragraph spoke so much to me because it just says, am I willing to believe? And the answer is yes. I've heard on these lines that sometimes we need to go out and do more research to be convinced that we are truly compulsive overeaters. And having recently done that, the beauty of this program is that when I find myself back in the food, I know where the answer is, and I've had the experience of serenity, of being recovered, of not living in the problem. And that started, you know, with this meeting where I was introduced to a solution of how to deal with my powerlessness over first food, and namely, you know, the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, being having the answers of how to deal with this lifelong obsession and compulsion and powerlessness. And I've had wonderful guides, also known as sponsors, who have guided me through this book. And when I wander off the path of freedom and peace, that of being connected with my higher power, it is what I've learned through the meetings, through my work with sponsors, through my step work, through immersing myself in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, that reminds me that I can just start over where I'm at. And I'm grateful for the remembrance deep down of my higher power. But I will say that when I get off the path, I quickly forget and I become agnostic again. And I look to the world, I look to scientists, I look everywhere for another way. But as I was listening to a neuroscientist from Stanford talking last night, I just kept thinking, he's just missing it. He doesn't understand that higher power, that invisible force that really has, that I have had the experience of guiding me through the solution. And I have recently just acted as if, and even though I didn't really, you know, believe in my heartfelt, you don't have to have some great conversion to begin the step on this journey. So I'm grateful to be here, grateful to be able to share, and with that I pass.
Oh, perfect timing. Okay, we now have time for, let's say, one more share, if anybody has a burning desire.
Carol K. in New Jersey.
Carol K., you're on. Good morning,
thanks.
Carol.
Thank you. I came into this program thinking, all right, I'm going to be with a whole bunch of other fat people. You know, they'll show me how to lose weight, you know, whatever. That's what my thought was. But then when I was listening on the meetings and I'm hearing God, I'm like, what does God have to do with me being fat? Like, I just didn't get it. And I've been over 300 pounds since I'm in my early 20s. I'm 59. And I just didn't get it. And after listening to the meetings, this particular meeting, because I was all like a mess. Like I was going to all different meetings and I just wasn't really getting the whole gist of this whole thing. And then somebody said to me, go to a vision for you and listen to that. And I did. And after a few days, I said to my husband, you know what? They're either all crazy or they're right. And I got to find out. So I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to get a sponsor and see what happens. And well, I did learn, and I still have a lot to learn, but I did learn one thing, one important thing, and that's the reason why God is so important, because without God, the weight won't come off. Without God, my life would still be in shambles. My life isn't perfect, by no means, but my life would be in total shambles. I have 7 kids. They're all adopted. Not a good relationship with hardly any of them when I was in my illness and this ugly illness, which is not my fault. But after getting recovered and living my life the past 5 1/2, almost 6 years, I'm close to all of my kids. They all talk to me today. My relationship with my husband of almost 40 years, we are best friends for the first time in our entire marriage. So now, today, if I don't understand anything else, I understand one thing, how important God is in my life. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Carol K. That'll be our last share for today. I want to thank all those who shared and all those who gave service on this meeting for the month of March. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Betsy H. please read a vision for you?
Thanks, Mo. I'm Betsy H. from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your house is in order, if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the recognition of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.